Hello and welcome back to the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast. With what we're going to do over the next few weeks or so, you're going to see a lot more articles and opinion pieces written by myself popping up on our new website, www.petermackaymotorsport.com, with various bits of opinion from the world of motorsport. But when I've been reading magazines and books myself, I spend a lot of time in the car, a lot of time travelling, and I love to consume my kind of motorsport news through audio and through podcasts, and that was inspiration for starting this podcast as well. So whenever I read a really good article in a magazine, when I get the time to sit down and read it, I love it. But I thought, oh, wish I could have this in audio form to be able to consume this. So that's what I'm going to do with our articles on our website. We're going to post these as little sort of miniature podcasts, if you like. So the first article that I wrote was about balance of performance, which is three very naughty words in certain parts of the, particularly the sports car paddock in motorsport. So I tried to address what my feelings about balance of performance were, how you see certain types of it in different series, and some of the best examples of it, good and bad. And of course, still sitting on the fence by the end of it, but we'd love to know your thoughts of what you think about the article, but also what you think about balance of performance. So here it is, I'll read it to you now. So, balance of performance, abomination or the saviour of motorsport. More and more often I find myself hurting my backside while teetering on the proverbial fence when I reflect on what BOP, or balance of performance, has done to motorsport. In theory, it's a great idea. Closer racing, a bountiful variety of cars, able to race wheel to wheel, a level playing field. Isn't that what we all crave as fans of our wonderful sport? However, balance of performance is not universally loved or accepted. Far from it. There are factions within the motorsport industry, and crucially the knowledgeable fan in the grandstand, who despise those three words. Over the last couple of years, as I approach my 30th birthday, my love affair with motorsport has continued to grow, as it has done since childhood. My passion and interest spreads the length and breadth of the sport, including, deep breath, MotoGP, World Rally Championship, sports cars, Le Mans, IMSA, WEC, Spa, Bathurst, V8 supercars, British superbikes, British touring cars, Isle of Man TT, and so on. One common thing amongst all of these series is that they have never been more closely contested, and in most cases the number of teams or manufacturers capable of winning is also more broad than ever before. A number of these series rely on a variety of BOP, or performance levelling, measures. Some deploy much more blatant tactics like weight ballast, adjusting engine fuel flow restrictors, or fuel tank capacity. Others are more subtle in approach, using off-the-shelf electronic systems which are mandatory to all competitors. In theory, this hopefully saves manufacturers or teams from spending themselves into oblivion on teams of electronic engineers and endless development. Success rate of these BOP measures range from triumphant to contentious. The most contentious and relevant example of the BOP paradox is the GTE Pro class in the World Endurance Championship. Engine sizes for normally aspirated cars like Porsche or Corvette are capped at 5.5 litres. Forced induction cars like Ford, Aston Martin, Ferrari and BMW just 4 litres. Minimum weight is 1,245 kilograms and fuel is 90 litres. Sounds simple? Far from it. In order to ensure close racing and no chance for one brand to dominate, the series organisers, the ACO, can manipulate a car's performance through a number of means. These include weight ballast, adjustment of fuel tank capacity, and the bluntest method of all, reduction of fuel flow and thus power. The class is contested tooth and nail to the very last lap at nearly every race. Quite extraordinary when you consider races are contested from between 6 to 24 hours in length. Throughout the season, the heavyweights of sports car racing slug it out for glory, including Porsche, Ferrari, Aston Martin, Ford, Corvette and BMW. The myriad of configurations of car that compete are worlds apart. The closeness of the racing is spellbinding. To me, it boggles the mind how ex-F1 driver Jan Magnussen in his front-engine American V8 bruiser Corvette can hustle and put unimaginable pressure on young hot shoes like Lawrence Vantor in the wailing flat-six factory Porsche 911 RSR. Or the heart-racing spectacle of Le Mans stalwart Darren Turner in his little Aston Martin Vantage sneaking up behind the mammoth BMW M8 along the Mulsanne Straight, sizing up a move on the brakes. This is the kind of stuff which keeps me hooked to the TV for hours on end, drinking in the action and thinking, will I ever own a Porsche 911 GT3 RS like Nick Tandy? Who said a win on Sunday, sell on a Monday was a thing of the past? But I digress, of course. The fact remains that this level of big-time manufacturer competition simply would not be possible without balance of performance. Nevertheless, the whole ethos behind balance of performance comes under vitriolic criticism, albeit not unanimously, from media, teams, drivers, and fans. Some would even go as far as to say it is the reason why Ford and BMW have had enough and are leaving the WEC to pursue other motorsport projects. In the 2018-2019 WEC Super Season, all the teams that will continue for the 2019-2020 Championship, starting at Silverstone in September, have won on multiple occasions. Porsche have won 3 times, Ferrari and Aston Martin twice. Ford won only once, all the way back at Spa in May 2018. BMW never won at all. Even the harshest critics of balance of performance cannot contest that racing in GTE Pro is as close and exciting you could ever dream of. Critics of balance of performance believe that it is desecrating our sport and is prone to manipulation from typical motorsport politics. Going back to that damn spiky fence, I still can't decide which side to sit on. BOP, or balance of performance, is such a complex issue that I suspect I am not alone sitting on this fence. A major issue that does convolute the effective deployment of balance of performance is sandbagging, where a team will run deliberately slowly in testing or qualifying to avoid balance of performance clipping their wings for the race. It's the oldest trick in the book. Don't show your hand and then unleash the full wrath of your arsenal in the race. After all, it's a 24-hour race. The grid position isn't so important. One of the most blatant examples of sandbagging was at the final test and during qualifying for the Le Mans 24 Hours in 2016. On the debut of the eagerly anticipated Ford GT, excitement was at fever pitch. 50 years had passed since Henry Ford, scorned from a bitter dispute with Enzo Ferrari, deployed every possible resource to bring down the Italian maestros. It was time to dish out revenge once more. For the 2016 race, Ford developed what could be referred to as a homologation special, the likes of which we have not seen for many years. Typically, in the GTE Pro class, manufacturers will identify a suitable road car in their existing product range and convert this to a pure racer with all the bells and whistles ready to do battle at Le Mans. Ford had other ideas. Starting with a blank sheet of paper, the engineers in a top-secret skunkworks in Dearborn, Michigan, crafted their perfect Le Mans racer without any compromise. In order to comply with the rules, homologating road-legal Ford GTs and flogging them to yearning potential clients was very much priority number 2 behind the race car. As long as the ACO rulemakers were happy, that was good enough for Ford. Thankfully for Ford, they had the luxury of hand-picking who they would invite to purchase these £420,000 pieces of Le Mans history. Demand far outstripped supply, inevitably leading to some very difficult phone calls to some very wealthy people. The stage was set for the big return, 50 years on from their first victory with the original Ford GT that was coaxed to victory by Dream Team Bruce McLaren and Chris Amon. The preparation for Le Mans was going exactly to plan. The car had already picked up its first race victory a month before Le Mans in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship at the highly technical Laguna Seca circuit near Monterey in the United States. Losing was never really in the script for Ford senior management when the team arrived at Le Circuit de la Sarthe for the greatest race on earth, the Le Mans 24 Hour. The brief was clear: win or don't come back. With four Ford GTs run by legendary operators Chip Ganassi Racing and Multimatic taking to the grid, nothing had been left to chance. The final test at Le Mans looked very promising indeed for Ford. Porsche set the benchmark, as they often do, with the quickest of their 911 RSR machines, setting a time of 3 minutes 55.4 seconds. Ford were only 0.6 seconds behind in a car that had only debuted a few months before. Very impressive indeed. Arch rivals Ferrari were only half a second off the rapid 911. When qualifying arrived for the race, the situation unravelled dramatically. Porsche's trio of Earl Bamber, Fred McAvecky and Jörg Bergmeister managed to squeeze another half second more pace from their fastest lap during the final test, as would be expected when the red mist engulfs the best drivers in the world when all-out qualifying mode is engaged. What happened with their rivals Ferrari and Ford, though, was hard to accept for the WISAC team. Joey Hand, Dirk Müller and Le Mans native Sébastien Bourdais miraculously improved their lap time from testing by a mammoth 4.8 seconds. The best Ferrari? 4.3 seconds quicker. Improving lap time by such a colossal margin, even over a lap as long as Le Mans, is virtually unheard of in top-level motorsport. I cannot imagine the fury in the Porsche garage on the Friday night prior to the race. They would have appeared to have been well and truly hustled by sandbagging. Ford went on to win the 2016 Le Mans 24-hour GTE Pro class and thus cemented another milestone entry into their illustrious history. Two documentaries, 24-hour War and The Return, were spawned from one of the greatest stories we have ever seen in sports car racing in recent years, both of which were made available on popular streaming services like Amazon Prime and Netflix. A more effective platform to catch the attention of a 21st century casual viewer you will not find. In November of this year, the original 1960s Ford vs Ferrari saga will be immortalised in a Hollywood film fronted by an all-star cast including Matt Damon and Christian Bale. For me, this is the paradox with balance of performance. The story of Ford returning with a brand new car and winning on the 20th anniversary in an all-or-nothing, unlimited-budget assault on the establishment is pure gold for those in the entertainment business. For your die-hard sports car enthusiast, it may be seen that the result had been manipulated. Porsche would certainly claim they were denied even the opportunity to fight for the win in that 2016 GTE Pro Le Mans 24-hour race. So who should we be concerned about keeping happy? Stakeholders like the casual viewer, auto manufacturer marketing departments, TV stations, newspapers, the series organisers, or just the die-hard sports car enthusiast? For me, the answer is clear. The show comes first. Entertainment and excitement are essential aspects of motorsport. Without them, we have nothing to offer our die-hard fans, and we certainly won't be attracting any potential new fans without stimulating content. In sports car racing, can we provide this edge-of-the-seat, wheel-to-wheel action without balance of performance? Slightly reluctantly, I must admit that without balance of performance measures, we would not be experiencing such a golden era of sports car racing. At last, I've taken the plunge off that awfully spiky BOP debate fence. Undoubtedly, the balance of performance debate will rage on for as long as this measure is in place. There are no signs that it will be eradicated from the rulebook anytime soon. However, the biggest victims of balance of performance in sports car racing, which we must never ever forget, are the drivers. Without these gallant guys and girls who sacrifice everything in their life from early childhood in the single-minded journey to reach the top of the motor racing ladder, we would have no sport at all. Drivers will spend countless hours in the simulator, at the gym, and tenaciously chasing a drive for the next race or season. Those who have the sharpest, unrelenting, laser-guided focus and grit are often those who extract the most from their car and team. So, Surely they should therefore be guaranteed the best results. With balance of performance, this can be thrown into jeopardy. Every result in sports car racing seems to be caveated with how balance of performance has affected the performance or otherwise of their particular car. This year in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in the GTLM class, the Porsche 911 RSR number 912 leads the championship. Critics and other teams will cry that Porsche has had the more advantageous balance of performance, and this is the sole reason why the number 912 is at the front. I wholeheartedly disagree. The number 912 car has the standout driver lineup in sports car racing in 2019. Lawrence Vanthoor and Errol Bamber are two of the greatest sports car drivers of their generation. Vanthoor, a Le Mans GTE class winner in the Pink Pig 911 RSR in 2018, and Bamber in the 2015 third car that shocked the establishment and won Le Mans outright in 2015. The frustration they must personally feel when they read such opinion that their 911 RSR is somehow carrying them to easy wins must really hurt. I implore you to go to the excellent IMSA channel on YouTube and watch this year's race at Long Beach. There you will see the true class that is hashtag Bamtor, as they are affectionately known. With a broken splitter flapping around at the back of the Porsche number 912 for most of the race, Errol Bamber held off intense pressure from Dirk Müller in the Ford GT and both snarling Corvettes to win an all-time classic IMSA race. Coming back to that paradox, a Corvette, a 911 and a Ford GT have no business racing each other, but thanks to balance of performance, they can go wheel to wheel. What balance of performance giveth the fan, it taketh away from the driver. Drat, I am back on the BOP balance of performance fence again. Thanks for listening to this first audio recital of our first ever article on PeterMackayMotorsport.com. I'd love to hear your opinion on what you think about the article, and any ideas for a future article, we'd be delighted to explore them. Thanks for listening, and see you again very soon.